Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Thanks for joining me today and tuning in. Today's program is all about dating in midlife and beyond. One of my favorite topics and a topic that I also write a lot about. I have a wonderful guest as well who I'm really looking forward to talking to about dating in midlife and beyond. Now, Patricia Lorenz is an award-winning newspaper columnist, writer, speaker, and the author of 14 books, including her most recent book called 57 Steps to Paradise. Wow. Finding Love in Midlife and Beyond. Now, I should tell you that I don't know Patricia personally, but we've talked a lot online, and I even know that she doesn't like coffee, and she has 72 flavors of tea at her house. So welcome to the program, Patricia. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Terry. I'm thrilled to be here, believe me.
And I'm thrilled to have you. 72 flavors of tea, Patricia? That's a lot of tea.
I know, it's crazy.
Why so many, and what's your favorite?
Well, I did research really all over the world. Every time I travel, I buy tea everywhere I go, and I research, and the chicken soup books even let me do their chicken soup for the tea lover's soul. I was a co-author for that book, so I had to do a lot of research, and I love a lot of different kinds of teas, but, you know, it's really strange. I always go back to America-made Bigelow tea, and I love some of their flavors, French vanilla and vanilla caramel and lemon lift and all that. But yeah, it is kind of crazy to think I've never had a cup of coffee in my life, but I've survived and I'm here to tell about it, and that's that.
That's that. Well, first of all, I have to ask you, is it because of the caffeine? Is that why you
don't
drink
coffee?
All.
I think when I was a little girl, I had my tonsils out, and that summer, my mother started making me do dishes. That, you know, as I was at the age where I started doing dishes, and one of the things I had to do was clean out the coffee pot with those grounds, and I think I still had some of the ether effects. Back then they used ether when you had your tonsils out, and
right.
For some reason, those coffee grounds just made me sick to my stomach, and to this day, I can't stand the smell of grounds, although I love the smell of coffee and fresh coffee beans. Isn't that weird?
Very interesting. Well, it's just interesting. I love that our childhood and even the smells in childhood really influence us today as adults. And I talk a lot about it can even influence us in our relationships. The smells that gave us joy and happiness in childhood can actually bring us joy now in our relationships. But those that were negative, as you said, in our childhood can actually influence us negatively right now, which is fascinating to me. Okay, a totally different topic. Let's talk about dating, though, in midlife. Oh, actually, first, I need to ask you, I know that you are an award-winning newspaper columnist. You have 14 books, and as you mentioned, you know, you're a writer of Chicken Soup for the Soul series. You have 75 stories in that series. What inspired you first, before we get to dating, to be a writer?
Well, that is a really good question, and I get asked that many, many times. And the answer is that 80% of all writers start writing because of the death of someone they love. You know, it's a catharsis piece. We need to write about our dear grandma and our, you know, Aunt Bernadine, who died and was the most wonderful person in the world. And people start writing, and they send these stories off to magazines, and the magazines refer to them as dead grandma stories.
Really?
And they usually end up in the wastebasket because they're awful, and nobody really cares about your dead grandma. You know, I love my dead grandma, but nobody really cares about her but me. So those stories really don't go anywhere. However, when my mother died at age 57 of Lou Gehrig's disease, I wrote a story about her and a joke that she and I played on each other for 17 years. And it really wasn't a dead grandma story per se, but it was a story about the relationship I had with my mother and how we hid this baggy yellow shirt in each other's homes for 17 years without saying a word. And it was all about, you know, sharing her sense of humor with the world.
Mm.
And wouldn't you know, that was the second thing I'd ever written in my entire life. And it was accepted by Guidepost Magazine. I won their writer's contest with it. And then Reader's Digest published it in their magazine. And then it was published in a ton of magazines. And then Jack Canfield called me one day and wanted to put it in his second helping of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And I didn't even know who he was. And
right.
Said, you know, well, Jack, you know, I'm a single parent. I need to be paid for my work. What are you going to pay me? And he said, pay you? He said, we didn't really have to pay anybody for the stories in our first book because they were just thrilled to be in there. And I said, well, listen, I'm a single parent and I'm raising kids and I've had kids in college for 17 years in a row and blah, blah, blah. I went on and on. And he said, well, how much do you want? I said, $250. And he said, well, okay, that's no problem. And we started talking, and he told me about his first book and how they had over a million readers, and he was the speaking guru of the world and traveled all over. And so by the end of our conversation, I said to him, Jack, I really think I need $500 for my story.
Oh, wow. So you went higher, but you've been writing.
I was a persistent little single parent, I'm telling you. And so he agreed to that. Well, what happened was the publisher sent me $500, and Jack also sent me $500 by mistake. And so I wrote them both a long 3-page typewritten letter detailing all the reasons why I should be able to keep both checks. Well, they agreed, and after that, our relationship was solid, and we just had a wonderful, wonderful time, and I got to write in so many of the Chicken Soup books, and of course, now they pay every single writer $200,
including
me. That was
good. So maybe you started that, Patricia, but what I'm hearing then is that you've been writing about connections, whether it be with your mother and the secret or what you did with each other for a
Absolutely.
Long time.
All my writing, I don't have the imagination to write fiction. I wish I did, but I've been a nonfiction writer, and I call myself an art of living. It's a lot like, you know, how you share your insights into the love connection with everyone. It's all about love, life, laughter, happiness, and, you know, just getting through.
And it really is, because relationships are so important, as you said. There are lifeblood. They're what make us happy or sad. Now, in your new book, 57 Steps to Paradise, Finding Love in Midlife and Beyond, I think it's a book about your own dating experiences, right? So
Absolutely.
Why write a book yep. about your experiences? Why be so vulnerable? Why tell the world about you and your dating experiences?
Well, when I was in my late 50s, I moved to Florida. And my children were all grown, and I had met a man that was, you know, married, and his wife was ill, and, you know, we were just buddies at the pool, because I had a condo down here at the time with my family, and I knew we went to the same church, and he was just a nice guy, and I kept saying, you know, when am I going to meet Jane? When am I going to meet Jane? I wanted to meet his wife, and she was very ill, and one day she did come to the pool, and I got to meet her, lovely, lovely woman. Well, then, I think it was 6 months later, she died, and I sent him a sympathy card. And to make a long story short, I came back to my family condo, and he was there in the pool, and he said to me, you know, we talked, and we started dating actually a few weeks later. And this was, you know, like 5 or 6 weeks after she had died. And I, you know, I said, are you kidding? We can't be dating because, you know, we're old and we're, you know, you haven't had enough time to grieve. But the more I thought about it, the more it was what he needed. He needed someone to talk to, and so he ended up talking me into buying a condo down here for myself.
So is the book about you and this one man? Is that
no,
it?
No, no,
or
no, no.
It
actually starts out with all of my experiences with men. As, you know, a young bride, I was actually married once to an abusive alcoholic, and I had my first 3 children with him, and then we divorced, and then I married a man who was 17 years older than I, who really wanted to get married, and I think he just felt like I was the flower in his lapel, you know, and I probably shouldn't have done it, but he was a good man, and he was a high school principal, and I had one child with him, and then he left me for an older woman, which is really a kick in the gut, because usually they leave you for a younger one, and you can kind of understand it.
But it's hard whether if it's anybody, whether it's an older or a younger person. So the book then starts after your first two marriages and your dating experiences. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I detail all those experiences with the first two, and then dating between the two husbands, and then dating after the second husband. And then I was single for 27 years. And then when I moved to Florida, I started dating Jack, and then we broke up. And, you know, what's really interesting about the title of this book, Dr. Terry, is that people probably think there's a list of 57 ways to get into paradise, but that's not it at all. The 57 steps are simply the distance between my condo and Jack's condo.
Oh.
And we kept both condos after we got married, and that is a big part of the book, which,
I see. That's nice. I like that. But before we get to Jack, kiss and tell just a little bit, Patricia. Give us a story about some of the men you've dated, or I know that you talk a lot about Mr. Underpants. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
What is that story?
My favorite story in the book. This was, you know, I did a lot of online dating during the time that Jack and I broke up. And, you know, I thought, well, I'll just get out there, because he was dating, and I thought, I'm going to try this out. So I did, and I dated a lot of guys. I kept a journal, thank goodness. And I was just looking at my journal not too long ago, and like, for instance, one of them says, okay, this guy's name was Greg, and I met him at Panera. And I found out that he eats almost all of his meals at Burger King. So right there, that's a red flag. You know, we didn't eat the same way. He lives in a single wide trailer. He does absolutely no exercise, does not like to travel, and he sells insurance. And he was a very nice guy, but oh my gosh, everything on the list of, you know, why I was interested in him to begin with was gone, because we had nothing in common. So that's why I liked online dating as an older woman. I was in my 60s by this time, mid-60s when I was dating during this time that Jack and I broke up. And so I learned a lot about men, but I was thinking, oh my gosh, 90% of them I only went out with one time. You know, you can see the red flags. The older you get, it's easier to know immediately that you do not ever want to see this person again.
And by the way, Patricia, I should tell you that there is scientific evidence, and I've been studying this for a long time, that when people are in their 50s and beyond, they have a better sense of what they want, the partner qualities that they need in a good relationship, and what's compatible for them. They're happier, they're more confident. And so what you're saying in your own personal experiences really is supported by research.
Absolutely. And you know what fascinated me was when I did move to Florida, I think I was 59 when I moved to Florida. And so I made a lot of friends. And of course, you move to Florida and you're surrounded by old people. And that's just the smart people move to Florida because it's wonderful here and that's a great place to retire. So I met a lot of people my age and older, who women especially, who were widows or divorcees, and they were all adamant that they never, ever wanted to get married again. And it's like, oh, I don't ever want to have to take care of another guy. I don't want to have to cook for him. I don't want to have to put up with his nonsense. I don't want to have to put up with, you know, watching TV or blah, 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 blah. And it just fascinated me that so many women were so dead set against ever wanting to get married again. So that's another reason I wanted to do this book, because I think there's different ways that you can carve out a relationship with somebody and make it work. And, you know, for myself, it works only because we kept both condos 57 steps apart.
I see. Okay. And so that also has to do with the title, that you kept both condos 57 steps apart, and that was something that continues to make the relationship work?
Absolutely. We've been married now for 5 years, and Jack, bless his heart, was put on this earth to watch sports from a recliner. And I love this man dearly, but we don't have a lot of things in common other than our faith we have in common. We belong to the same church. He's very active there. We have children in common. He has 6, I have 4. We have grandchildren in common. He has 11, I have 9. So together we have 10 kids and 20 grandchildren. And yet we don't, he doesn't have a lot of intellectual curiosity about things. So, but he's the sweetest man on earth who will say, you plan the trip. Whatever you want to do, I'm fine with. And so we've had some amazing adventures together because he doesn't have this whiny attitude that a lot of people do. Men or women, as I'm sure you know, can be the drag your foot person in any relationship where, you know, Jack's just happy to let me plan stuff and come up with the ideas and do whatever.
And what does Jack say about this book, Patricia, where you share the stories of all the men that you've dated?
He's absolutely fine because he dated when he was, you know, we were broken up and he was, the thing is, he was happily married for 43 years to Jane before she died. And I'm telling you and all the ladies out there and men, that's the kind of person you want to marry in your later years. Someone who had a great marriage, was happy in their marriage and wants to continue in that kind of happiness. And so, you know, I think
knows what's important, knows what the strategies are to a happy, healthy relationship, either consciously or unconsciously, and then implements them. But he's okay with the storytelling to the whole world. I mean, it's different if you're telling your friends.
And he knows that, you know, writing is what I do and that, you know, I unzip my soul and I expose my foibles. And a lot of it is, you know, making fun of myself and, you know, and a lot of it is sharing, you know, it's just interesting stuff about the different kinds of men you can meet out there. And you know, for a guy reading this book, he can just transpose these things into as if it was a woman he's thinking about dating. But there's so many different kinds of people that you want to meet and get to know and then decide what it is you want in a lifelong partner. And I'm telling, I would love to just stand on a mountaintop and shout, it's okay to get married in your 70s or your 80s because it's so wonderful to be able to carve out the way we want to live. And I'm going to tell you in detail how we do it. These two condos are 57 steps apart.
Yes.
And I have never once not slept with my husband in his bed in his condo. Every night I go there and we sleep in the same bed. All my clothes live at Jack's condo. We get up in the morning and we go to water aerobics across the street. That's our one and only exercise, and we love it. We both love the water. Then we come back to his condo. I have my tea. He has his coffee, and we read the newspaper. And then I say to him, well, honey, oh, no, then we have breakfast because all the breakfast food lives at Jack's condo. Then I say to him, okay, honey, it's time for me to go to work, which really means I'm tired of being here. I need to go to my condo now, whether I'm going to work or not. But this is where my office is, of course. But it's, all my stuff is here. And like I said, he was put on the earth to watch sports from a recliner, and I can't stand to have the TV on during the day. I don't like watching sports on TV. So the minute I get out of there, I'm free of that. And I'm in my own place with all my own things.
So basically what I'm hearing, Patricia, is that for all the listeners out there, you need to let go of the expectations of two people meeting in their 20s and living together in the same house for 50, 60, 70 years, so that those expectations you have to let go of and make your relationships work for you is basically what you're saying, and that you're never too old to find the right person.
Never too old. And I mean, I would be lost without Jack, even though I'm here by myself in my condo for usually from 11 in the morning till 11 or 11:30 at night. And then every night I lock the door and usually he comes to my place for dinner and, you know, often we go out to eat or, you know, eat leftovers or, you know, he likes to eat things that I don't like to eat. I'm a much more healthy eater than he is. And so he'll have sometimes fix his own supper, but a lot of times I fix dinner here and he'll come down, we watch the news together, and then the minute dinner's over, he's out the door and back to his place so he can watch baseball or,
fo-
or hockey or whatever. And so then I'm here alone doing my thing. I love to paint. I love to sit on my computer and write and work on stories and, you know, just talk to my kids on the phone or whatever I want to do, you know, paint my toenails, pay my bills,
right.
Whatever.
So differences are okay as well, is what you're saying, right? So what are the differences, though, in finding love at 20, 30, or even maybe 40, and finding love in midlife or beyond? What do you think the differences are? I mean, you found love very early, and now you've also found love again at with Jack.
Yes, there are a lot of differences. I think you have to be... part of my problem is that I was single for 27 years, and I was head of my household, and I made all the decisions, and I didn't want to give that up. And you don't have to give that up when you have a relationship or a marriage in later life. Because, you know, if the woman is well-established and she has her own checkbook and she, you know, pays her own bills, and Jack and I didn't even mingle our finances. I pay all the bills at my condo, and he pays the bills at his. And we're both on Social Security, and I know exactly what my income is going to be every month, and so does he. And so we live within our means. When we go out to eat, we share. Sometimes he pays for dinner. Sometimes I pay for dinner. And, you know, I had to learn that. That was one thing. That's one of the differences, that you have to learn to set up your finances and decide, you know, how it's going to be. He was fine.
And you didn't do that when you were earlier? Do you not think people do that when they're early?
It'll be Patricia Lorenz, and he was fine with that. He's a strong enough man and has enough self-confidence that it didn't matter to him if his wife didn't take his name. And I love that about him. You know, he's very generous of heart and spirit, and you need to find a guy like that, I think, when you're looking at my age.
And so the differences between finding love at 20, 30 earlier and finding love in midlife and beyond, Patricia, would be that you know yourself more. Is that what I'm hearing? That maybe when you're looking for love at, you know, in your 20s or your 30s, you're not so sure of yourself. But what I hear is that you were very sure of yourself when you met Jack. You knew what you wanted, what you needed, that living in 57 steps apart was okay, and that added to a relationship. It actually made your relationship stronger. Is that
Absolutely.
Correct?
And you know what else? I was listening to one of your talks about the difference between love and lust. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that I was 66 years old when we got married, and Jack is almost 9 years. He was 75. And we still had that lustful, passionate love that we couldn't wait to be together. We loved to be in bed together and snuggling. And, you know, the sex is different than it was when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. Certainly, but there's so many things you can do and to pleasure each other, and it's just, I think that's an important part of it. I don't want people to think that you're just going to go out there and find somebody that, you know, is financially stable and that you're going to marry them because they're going to be a companion, which is not all bad either. You know, it is a lot about companionship and avoiding the loneliness, and I love knowing that Jack is there for me. I had both of my
So basically what you're saying,
and you know, he was such a help.
So, Patricia, we only have a few minutes left, but what I hear you saying, we only have a few, very few minutes left, but what I hear you saying is for listeners to understand that you can also find love and lust at a later age when you're
Absolutely.
Older. When you're
Absolutely.
65,
it's wonderful, really. I'm just a really, really happy person, and because I carved it out my way, the way it works for both of us.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your stories, Patricia, how you found love with Jack at 66, you said, correct?
Yeah, we got married when I was 66 and he was 75.
Wow, I love that story. I love the story about living in two condos and living very close to one another. And I would agree, Patricia, that you're never too old to find Mr. or Ms. Wright. So thank you so much for joining us. I loved talking to you. And again, thank you for sharing your stories.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Terry. You are a delight.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And listeners, the best way to connect with Patricia is on her website, which is patricialorenz.com. You can also follow her on Facebook at writer, speaker, painter, or email her at patricialorenz4@gmail.com. And as always, thanks for listening, everyone. I appreciate you. And I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My website, personal website, is drterrytheLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with simple, practical, science-based relationship advice. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.